how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hello, this is international football commentator Derek Ray, and you're listening to the Ranks FC podcast.
Hello Rank Squad and welcome to Ranks FC, as Champions League takeaway here on the show. My name is Jack Collins. I'm joined by the one and only Mr. Dean Jones. We have a Champions League final thing.
Come on, mate, what a game. We've literally just in the end of the Real Madrid Bayern Munich game. Absolute belter, like unbelievable scenes at the end. That stadium is absolutely rocking. I said last week, like, the new Bernabeu, it's been rebuilt for moments like this. I just said there was no way I could see Madrid not winning. Well, I could with a few minutes left. And then the same old story, mate. It's the same old story. I mean, look, when it happens this often, when it has happened this many times, it is not luck.
It is
ingrained in this football club. Jude Bellingham was just talking about it before we jumped on. And he said, this fan base is, he said, it's the best support in the world. He's going to say that, obviously, he's playing for him. But it's like they just, the way that they feel about the Champions League, it is everything. Like getting to the chance now to win it for the 15th time, it's all they talk about. And he said, you know, the expectation and the way they urge you on inside this stadium to go and get those goals, it just feels different. And I actually believe it now. I actually believe it. This is not, you know, we look at other football clubs and you think Liverpool have got something special about them. Man United has something special about them.
Once upon a time.
Borussia Dortmund have something special about them. You know, these clubs, hey, they have something magical, but with Real Madrid, it never disappears. Mate, this is a season when Real Madrid are in transition, right? This is supposed to be like a one season block that doesn't rat too much because they've got Jude Bellingham in, but really he's not the main piece. The main piece is coming next year when Kylian Mbappe lands. And so they didn't go and sign a number nine. They got Jose Lu in for a bit. And they thought, right, let's just get through this season. Let's see what we can achieve. But the season after is the big one. They've smashed La Liga and then there's another Champions League final. Like, this is ridiculous, like, what this club is capable of. And just as you watched it unfold, it's mind-blowing. Like, how it happens time and time again, whether it's domestically, whether it's European. This team are never, ever dead. There is absolutely no way Real Madrid are not winning the Champions League. I've said it the whole season through. There's no way you're getting me on this show right now saying anything else. They're not even that good, right, by Real Madrid standards. They're not even that good. You're watching that game, you're looking at game plans and structures, and you're looking at what Bayern are doing throughout the game. And Thomas Tuchel's come up with a pretty good plan. Okay, Kimmich got the run around a bit. You know, Vinny had him on toast at one point, and I thought, this ain't looking good for him. Mm-hmm. But then, when Bayern scored, there's a video of Tuchel desperately calling Kimmich over, and he's like not celebrating at all. He just gets Kimmich over, trying to give him instructions on like how to deal with Vinny. They basically try and double up on him, right?
Yeah, which he should have been doing beforehand. I mean, just on that, and we'll come on to Tuchel's tactics a little bit in a minute. But this is a player who Tuchel said wasn't defensively strong enough to play as the defensive midfielder in this Bayern Munich team. And so he stuck him back at right back, one-on-one, with very little support against probably the best dribbler in world football right now. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. Because what Bayern have done, right, is they're choosing Kimmich over Tuchel, right? They're sacking a manager. They're moving on for a manager that was on the verge of getting them to the Champions League final. And I was speaking to someone the other day, and they were like, well, basically, if Tuchel was to stay, if there was to be a U-turn here, Kimmich would leave, and they would prefer to have Kimmich for next season than Tuchel for next season. Is that the right choice for sure?
For sure, no. Although it's the choice I would err towards as well.
Yeah, I can understand that. But is it the right choice for sure? No.
But you're never going to be sure, are you? Like, this
no,
is,
but
this
now, been, because they've like, got to a situation season. Where they actually don't have a replacement for Thomas Tuchel.
Yeah. Then
now it's looking a bit dodgy. Because you could replace Kimmich. Like, you could. You could deal without Kimmich. I don't know. It's a weird one. Anyway, we've gone off on a bit of a tangent there. That was a mad game of football, mate. And it's, look, Bayern Munich obviously got a bit of history. I saw them throw away a lead like that in 1999 against Man United.
In Spain. Ole Gunnar
Solskjaer. They've got a little bit of history for being bottle jobs. And especially now that Harry Kane's there, people are going to rub his nose in it a little bit more, I'm sure. But Jose Lu to come up with two in, well, the end of normal time and then in injury time to pop up with a second. Unbelievable cross, by the way, from Rudiger to actually make sure he's cut that back. I think it's purposeful as well, you know.
What, the pull across from Rudiger? You definitely.
Like, the fact it's actually gone backwards.
Well, I think he's tried to whip it across the box, but I think he's seen that Hosselu is there.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he's gone a step further. I think he knows he's onside if he gets it back. And like everyone else was just like, on first play, I thought it was offside. I was like, oh, it's off. But I don't know. What Rudiger did there in that moment, everything about it, I think, is unbelievable. Like, that is such a brilliant moment. I'm a bit gutted for him that he couldn't celebrate it in the moment. He had to wait, like, the 2 minutes or whatever to actually give it the big one and jump up on the advertising
board. He got a double celebration. He'll be happy enough with that.
He'll be a very happy man. The last I saw of him, he was holding up a chair, waving it in the air in front of the fans. I'm not sure what he was going to do with the chair, but he's a very happy man, that's for sure.
It did remind me, the Hosselu moment, of that kind of season where Choupo-Moting had his moment in the Champions League as well. Do you remember that? And just that kind of scene of being like, oh, wow, he's gone and done it. And there was a point, I think it was referenced on the commentary, that two Stoke City players came off the bench, or former Stoke City players came off the bench in a Champions League semi-final. One of them's had very much the defining say on this. And look, sometimes I think Hossolu gets an unfair rub of the green. Now, I don't think he's the answer long-term for Real Madrid. And I don't think he's necessarily even, you know, the best man for the job in this squad. But again, Bellingham spoke about it. He said he's such an important member of this squad in general. And he's come up with a lot of goals this season, from important moments to, you know, the less kind of crucial ones. But he's given them something different. He's given them an element of having that number nine that they haven't kind of utilized throughout the whole season. And he's gone in there to fill the boots of Karim Benzema, which is pretty impossible, right, at this point. And he knows that Kylian Mbappe is going to be coming in next season. He's seen Vinicius Jr. and Rodrigo and Bellingham play in the number nine position ahead of him. And yet every time he's come on, he's tried to make the most of it. And look, he is, and this is important, I think, a Real Madrid Academy graduate. And whilst it's taken him a long, long time to kind of come round the houses and come back to the club, that moment is just everything you could ever ask for. That is the pinnacle, to score two goals at the Bernabeu, in late goals to turn around a Champions League semi-final for the club you grew up wanting to play for and had a career of being a journeyman before getting to, is just one of the most incredible stories that you will hear in football this season.
Yeah, and honestly, even on his first goal, look, obviously Neuer's had an absolute nightmare, first with his throw out and secondly with the attempted catch of the shot.
He's there and he takes the moment.
You're always told as a striker, right, gamble. You always gamble. You always assume the worst is going to happen for the defender or the goalkeeper. And he charges into exactly the right spot. And Eric Dier, for 1 second, just puts the brakes on, assumes that Neuer's catching it. As you would. 9 out of 10 people would assume that Neuer's going to catch that one. It's the one time he doesn't. Neuer's had mainly a brilliant night in goal, right? And that 1 second, he fumbles one. Dyer's on his heels. Hossolu's there to stab it home. It's really good striker play. It's actually textbook. So fair play to him. He absolutely deserves it.
Yeah, it's fair. I probably should clarify. He wasn't a Real Madrid Academy product as such. He was bought at 18 years old by the Castilla side and then came through there. But point stands, I think, that it's clearly somewhere that he wanted to make his name, and it didn't work out. And it took a long, long way around the houses for him to come home. That
Perfect.
Is a complete moment of catharsis. For one, even in that one moment, that is one that he will dine off forever, especially if Real Madrid go on and win this competition. That is one of those moments that will go down in history. Another one of those incredible nights at the Bernabeu. I just kind of want to flip it a little bit and talk about Bayern, because for a lot of this, I thought that Tuchel got it right. But I could not believe, and look, there might be an injury we haven't heard yet to Harry Kane and Jamal Musiala, but to be honest, it looked like a tactical substitution to take them both off at 1-0 up at the Bernabeu. That is one of the most incredible things you will see. You know, we know the history of what this ground and what this Real Madrid team can achieve. We know how they make this their own, their inevitability in the latter stages of the Champions League. To pull off your star striker and your main creative threat in that moment is one of the most wild decisions I've seen from any manager at any point, unless there is an injury that we do not know about yet. I could not believe what I was watching.
Maybe he's got the ump because he's been sacked.
Actually, you know what? It's the best explanation I've heard yet. And, I mean, albeit haven't heard many. It just was a bit wild. But also, Thomas Müller isn't going to sleep for a week, because there's a couple of things where the 3-on-1 that he plays the pass behind is just a player of Thomas Müller's caliber and experience. And we're talking about before the game of the way that players of Kroos and Müller's caliber can slow a game down, can have calm heads in the moment. And instead, Thomas Müller fluffs the pass that would have sent Bayern racing through on goal at 1-0 up with about 5 minutes to play. He will be absolutely kicking himself. Now, there is a question mark as to whether Thomas Müller should have had a late assist in this game. The ball is played into him. He heads it back and Matthijs de Ligt scores. The flag goes up basically as soon as Müller heads it. And at first, you can kind of understand it. In real time, he was quite far ahead. And you're like, okay, maybe the linesman's seen it very, very clearly. And you look back and you're like, well, that might be onside. And in a night where I wanted to praise the officiating, because I thought Simon Marciniak did an absolutely sublime job tonight in a heated contest where there was a lot of players shouting at him, a lot of players questioning him over lots of decisions, I thought we got almost everything right. And this isn't really to disparage him, because
it's not really him, is it?
It, yeah. It wasn't his fault at this point. And I think he was kind of explaining that at the end. He was like, the flag goes up, the whistle's gone, play has stopped. And you can't reverse that, even if it's then deemed to be offside. But the linesman at this level and in the modern game that we have right now, love it or hate it, it doesn't really matter for this. In this exact moment, you cannot put your flag up at a moment like that if you are not 100% sure. And there is no way he could have been 100% sure. We still haven't seen it back, but there is very, very little in that. And my sneaking suspicion is that he might be onside.
I mean, I think they've been robbed. I've obviously gone off on one there about Bayern and how, you know, it's written in the stars that they win nights on nights like this and that this is their trophy. I think Bayern have been robbed by that moment.
But even if it had gone in and then it had been called back and it was like you were fractionally offside, you're like, okay, tough to take, but you know what?
But they didn't even really show the replays properly so they could get a good look at, like... I mean, Bayern accounts right now are kind of losing their minds about it because they're like, this is just not offside. They're all like, Madrid robbery, why am I surprised? Sack the linesman and all the rest of it. And I get it. I mean, if I was them, I'd be losing my head too. Very, very strange moment in the game. But I guess another very Real Madrid moment in the game. You know, this is why it's their competition, because they get this luck as well and they need it.
Yeah, I mean, you said at the top that, and I think it's probably nice to come back to this, that it's not just luck that wins you these moments. And I think that sometimes when we're talking about this Real Madrid side and the fact that they play off the cuff and they have that ability and that freedom in the final third to make things happen, we kind of underplay how crucial Ancelotti is. And I don't think there's any sort of malice in that, or I don't think it's being done in any sort of terms. It's just, you know, Ancelotti makes these comments to say, you know, there's some managers who let the players play and some who hold them back. And I tried to be the former and absolutely get that. But in terms of their fitness to push to the end of these games and continue looking for moments like this right at the end, in terms of the way that self-belief is instilled so deeply in these players, and the tactical nature of this game, I actually thought Ancelotti, I thought both managers got a lot right. I thought it was a really engrossing, enthralling game of football that had periods of dominance for both sides, that had some excellent defensive work from both sides. It was a very, very high quality affair in a way that maybe, and we'll come on to obviously yesterday's game between PSG and Dortmund, wasn't quite the same. And I think it's just a testament to the quality of Ancelotti. Also, Tuchel's in-game management was questionable, but the way he set his team up from the start, as I said before, was very good. It just felt like one of those where sometimes Ancelotti won't get credit for this, and he very much should do.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And what I don't think is fair is that Vinicius Jr. didn't make your European Team of the Year. Now,
there's no wingers. We decided on no.
There's no wingers, but I think he'd have to have Xhaka as his place in that team, mate. I think that if it really came down to it, well, I should have probably argued a bit more at the time about that. The fact that the team shape didn't matter and that Vinicius Jr. just had to be in the team one way or another, because he's just absolutely outstanding. While we've just been talking, Matthijs de Ligt has given an interview, and actually, the two main quotes sum up the two main things we've talked about. On the offside incident, he says, I don't want to say that Real Madrid always has the referees with them, but that did make the difference today. And he also says, Real Madrid, when you think they are dead, they have a last breath. That is why they have 14 Champions Leagues. And that sums it up pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I think that allegations of corruption today would probably be a stretch, considering that I thought that the game was marshaled incredibly well. I thought the decision to rule out the Nacho goal was a pretty big one to make at the Bernabeu. It was absolutely the correct decision. And I would argue that maybe he should be booked for that at a minimum. We've seen hands around a throat given as a red card before.
I don't think he really touched him, mate.
Here he is. But equally, I do counteract that with the idea that Nacho's chest height is probably Kimmich's head height, and therefore maybe there's a little bit of mitigating circumstance in there for that one. But I do think he probably should be booked at a minimum. You can't.
It was a very weird moment. I mean, he's literally just thrown him.
WWE throw, wouldn't it?
That's I was like, oh, let's have a look at this again. And it's like, as soon as they showed the replay, I was like, oh, that's literally nothing to argue about.
I think apart from that decision at the end, which is on the linesman, it was refereed incredibly well today. And we often criticize referees.
Even when he went over the injury time and he made the point of like letting people know how long was left with these like two, like that was great. It's just great understanding around the stadium. This man is in charge and he's doing an unbelievable job of it.
Kalina regen. It's happening. He'll be on the front of an EAFC game before too long and we can all celebrate. Right. I think, unless you have any more to add on Real Madrid against Bayern Munich, we should move on. So after the break, we're going to be discussing PSG versus Borussia Dortmund with the benefit of a little bit more hindsight. Don't go anywhere.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean Lafoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome back to Champions League Takeaway here on Ranks FC. That takeaway was a bit jumbled, Dean. It was like we got one of those boxes from the kebab shop after a night out, and it was just like, I'll just chuck everything in and we'll discuss it all and we'll eat it all and we'll digest it all. But we have a little bit more time to look at Borussia Dortmund's victory over PSG at the Parc des Princes, the first ever time that Borussia Dortmund have beaten PSG in Paris, first time they've ever scored in Paris in this fixture, for what it's worth. And Borussia Dortmund, who are currently fifth in the Bundesliga, are going to be in the Champions League final. What a club, what a story, and what a performance last night that made this work.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. It's a great story for Borussia Dortmund. I'm going to go back to what I said last week, and I said there is absolutely no way that PSG don't score in a second leg. No, absolutely shouldn't have been anyway that they didn't score in this second leg.
You were right in many ways.
And so I was right, but obviously they didn't score. But I just want to read something out to make a point here. So Guillaume Balague tweeted today, and he said, being knocked out in the semis of the Champions League after hitting the woodwork six times in both fixtures and having 31 attempts on goal in the return leg is not a failure. Are we saying that any team that doesn't win the Champions League has failed? Now, we're not saying that any team that doesn't win the Champions League has failed, but this PSG team has failed. They have failed. They will never have the quality of players again that they have had over the last two, 3 years. Never again. There's no way. that you see Messi, Neymar, Mbappe lining up for this team.
Or their equivalents in 10
years. Or their equivalents, yeah. And like Mbappe, like this is a prime version of this player. And to go for him to go through these two legs without a goal feels a bit odd, to be honest with you. Like against a team, look, Dortmund did well. Like Schlotterbeck and Hummels have exceeded all expectations when it comes to what I expected from them defensively. Fine. But yeah, I am saying PSG have failed here. And I think they're a dead team, mate. I don't think PSG will ever win the Champions League. I don't.
They said that about Man City. They said that they couldn't get their way to the showpiece.
The difference with Man City, mate, is Man City are forced to maintain a particular level in order to stay where they need to be. And each week, they also need to play at a higher level than Paris ever need to be. And for PSG to get another crop that is good enough to get to a level of winning the Champions League is going to be extremely difficult. Look, obviously, Borussia Dortmund are into a Champions League final right now. Yeah, so it can happen.
I was about to make this point.
But if it's not the quality, then it's built in another way. And I guess Dortmund have found a togetherness. I called them a bunch of misfits last week. You know, a group of players that didn't quite fit in other places, or people felt that their best days were behind them and they were just kind of having a resurgence in this competition. And that's how they've got to this moment. So maybe Paris can do it in a different way, possibly. But I've struggled to see it. And I mean, it just feels like such a missed opportunity. I cannot believe that Borussia Dortmund are in the final of this competition.
I would kick back a little bit, not necessarily against your general point here, because I think that this era of the project has come to a conclusion with it being a failure. And I think that you're right in that PSG might never have, and probably will never have, as star-studded a cast as they have had right now. It's also easy to forget that there were long periods post Real Madrid's Galacticos era where that team was seen as being second best and that the fit didn't always work. And it's actually taken Real Madrid not changing their strategy completely, because I think that would be disingenuous, but it took them actually working out that it wasn't just throwing every single best player you can buy onto the pitch. You had to build something in the long term. And I think that the Guardiola era, Barcelona, that obviously was followed on by Luis Enrique and lots of others, helped kind of show them the way in that regard. And we talk about dominance, right? There was 8 years out of 11 where Barcelona won the league. In that period, though, Real Madrid were able to go and win La Decima and then kick on from there and continue winning at the top level. So I think the comparison doesn't quite match up perfectly, and I appreciate that. But I do think that whilst I would admit that I think this is a failure in terms of PSG, even in this iteration, which is slightly probably on the down curve of their Galactics era, should have beaten on paper this Borussia Dortmund side. And they should have been looking at this. There's an argument to suggest that Barcelona threw it away against PSG and that actually we should be looking at a Clasico matchup in the Champions League final. So I think you can say that PSG have failed in their objective once again. I do think that at this point, we're about to enter a new era of what PSG are. And I don't think necessarily for this year in the Luis Enrique era of this project, it's time to rip it up and start again. I think that they're on an upward curve in that regard.
I think that there is a difference there because, yeah, Madrid had a 10-year Champions League drought. Paris, well, they were founded in, 1970? They've never done it. So...
It takes a while to build a club, right?
No, it does. But, you know, Man City have done it. You know, like you say, people said Man City wouldn't do it, but they have done it now. And that's behind them. And because PSG have gone through this period and not managed to do it with these iterations of teams they've had, and in years like this one, when it has been pretty wide open for them, they've obviously got to a final before and not done it, but this year seemed like a good opportunity for them to at least make it to the final. I am still amazed that they haven't managed to do this, but just when you're watching that match last night, it doesn't make any sense that they haven't scored a goal. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
So I have some... I do have some sympathy because I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to slate them because it is failure and they should have beaten this team. And I can't work out why they haven't. Like, is it bad luck? Is it bad finishing? Is it panicking? I don't know. Maybe it's a blend of all of it in some way, but
yeah,
I can't quite put my finger. I've even watched back. I obviously watched it last night and I've watched it back today. And I still am a bit perplexed by it all, really, because it you would watch that game and see Dortmund celebrating at the end and just be wondering how they are celebrating this.
I've come to a couple of conclusions about this game. And the first is that I struggled with the idea for a while. I was like, I thought Dortmund defended brilliantly. In the first half, I thought they were excellent. And the second half, I thought they were really brave in terms of where they... But also PSG racked up a massive XG, which, I mean, in single game context doesn't matter loads, but the eye test backs this up, that they create a lot of chances and they also hit the woodwork four times. So there's a bit of sort of luck, I suppose, that's associated with that. And you have to consider, I came to the conclusion that Dortmund earned their luck, because in the first half, I thought that they defended beautifully in terms of the way that both wingers track back to help their fullbacks with the fact that PSG's fullbacks were so high and bombing on. And there was kind of a discussion, I think, around the idea that last week, Jadon Sancho had Nuno Mendes so pinned back and he was in there so much that he was unable to affect the game. And also it meant that Jadon Sancho had the time and space to basically be able to affect the game in his own way. And I thought that was changed, but I thought Sancho's defensive shift here was exceptional. I thought Adeyemi's defensive shift on the other side, dealing with Hakimi, was absolutely excellent. And I thought that Emre Can was able to just sort of shuttle between the two wings and cut out those triangles. And I thought it worked brilliantly, especially in the first half. In the second half, it just came down to a sort of bodies on the line thing. And the amount of times that there was a Dortmund head on the ball, I think it was incredible to see, and they earned that piece of luck. Now, there is also this kind of, the Nuno Mendes hitting the post is a bit of a speculative long shot. The Kylian Mbappe one, he doesn't connect right. It bounces down off the deck and goes over. Not all woodwork hits are the same, right? Zaire Emery should do better, appreciated. But you kind of get to all of this and you're like, well, what is it? And I decided, and it comes back to your point, I think, my kind of final conclusion or takeaway from this game was I think that Luis Enrique got it wrong late on. And I thought the PSG on the pitch got it wrong late on. So I was rewatching it this morning. And you notice how many different corner takers do PSG have in the last 5-6 minutes? It's like five. Different player every time going over to take the corner. That isn't a set strategy trying to work a way through. That isn't we believe in ourselves. It's just somebody go and take it so we can get the ball back in play.
Back it in the box.
And notice it with Real Madrid today, right? Real Madrid didn't just lump the ball into the box in the last 5 minutes. Even with Hosselu one, it wasn't load it and lump it and try and hope something bounces for us. No. It was
defined movements that led to goals.
It was imperative. It was defined. It was not planned, but there was structure to what they were trying to do in the attacking third. There were patterns. They didn't feel like there was any of that. And also the flip that, you know, that Luis Enrique, I don't think he's particularly to blame for that, although I think he probably should be telling his players to calm down a little bit. But the kind of flip to that is that I don't think any of the substitutions...
He doesn't calm himself, mate.
Exactly, because I thought, you know, we watched Kylian Mbappe be closed out a fair bit in the first leg by Hummels and Schlotterbeck. By this point, there's three centre-backs on the pitch. Nicolas Sula, the fridge, has come on to really help to bat things away. And they go and throw Mbappe into the middle of all this, not into the area where he's been trying to affect the game from wide. Admittedly, he was having a really good battle against Julian Ryerson, who stood up to him magnificently, I thought.
Yeah.
But equally, you want him in the spaces where he feels he can affect the game. He had Kolo Muani on the bench. He didn't bring him on. They lacked the box threat as soon as Gonzalo Ramos went off. And Gonzalo Ramos didn't have a great game, but he was there in the box, you know, making things happen around him. And to take him off and basically go to this completely fluid system that had Barkala, had Asensio, had Kangin Lee, had Dembele, all sort of running around in spaces, and Mbappe. It just didn't feel like by the end of it, PSG knew what they were doing. It was just kind of based on pure vibe and instinct. And there are certain managers, as we talked about before, who instill that. Luis Enrique is not one of them. Luis Enrique is a manager who really instills a tactical setup, a kind of system that involves trying to drag players around and drag the opposition around to create opportunities. And instead, it was just a free-for-all. And I think that in doing so, they basically removed any chance of them forcing their way back into the tie in sort of the 80th minute. By the end, it was complete and utter chaos. And even when there were chances for PSG with sort of a minute left, you never thought they were going to get one, never let alone two. And I think that that has to, at this point, come down to the manager. Now, don't take this out of context, anyone listening, in that I don't think they should be sacking him. I think that they should very much persist with this. I think that Luis Enrique is the right man to take PSG forward. But I didn't like the way that he got at the end of this game in terms of what he tried to do. And I thought it actually ended up being a detriment rather than a help to his team.
Yeah, no, I think that's very well put, mate. I do also just wonder, like, beneath all of this, just what the Mbappe situation held over the team in an affair like this. Yeah. Obviously, everyone knows he's leaving. It's the one thing he hasn't done yet for the club. He stayed the extra season. And he just hasn't appeared with a prime performance in either leg. Maybe it's the pressure of expectation. Maybe it's the pressure to succeed. I don't know. But
maybe it's just being handled by Mats Hummels in Superman mode.
Maybe it was. As simple as that. But I am pleased that this is it for Mbappe at PSG. From both perspectives, to be honest, because just to talk about them for a second, like, in a more positive light and not as a dead team, maybe it removes the shackles a little bit, you know? Maybe, you know, all of the narrative that's been around Mbappe for the last few years now, once it started to become obvious he's going to be moving at some point. I know, obviously, this season, Enrique's taken him off out of so many games and Mbappe's just gone and got changed and walked out the stadium or whatever. And now that's going to be gone. So PSG are free of that. And for Mbappe, he's free of satisfying this group of fans and this group of ultras who are hard to please. And who can be very aggressive with their tones and their feelings.
Equally, he hasn't been particularly sensitive about the matter himself, has he?
No, so I think that all of that combined has probably helped lead to this latest failure, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And so, look, he'll be watching on as Real Madrid play out the final with Borussia Dortmund, knowing that he'll be part of that team
next year. Did you see his response when they asked him who he wanted to win the other second leg?
No.
It's like the world's biggest eye roll. It'll be a meme very quickly. Like, he just
looks
at the reporter, rolls his eyes and walks off. And it's like,
oh, really?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's an inappropriate time to ask that question after you've just been knocked out of the Champions League. Like, I absolutely appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a silly question. I mean, it's the Jude Bellingham final anyway, isn't it? I mean, Jude Bellingham at Wembley, playing against his old club, Borussia Dortmund, he's going to score the winner.
Yeah, well, you say that, and I appreciate your narrative. But unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to get on board with that, because there is a stronger narrative going on here in that Marco Reus playing what will be his last game for Borussia
Dortmund. Before he moves to San Diego FC.
Before he moves to St. Louis is the latest one today, but we'll see, is... I kind of figured it at the end of the game yesterday, and I was like, Marco Reus scoring the last minute winner with his last touch for Borussia Dortmund to lift a trophy, the perennial nearly man.
It's a good one.
Going on and winning it. I need it with every fiber of my being. I need it to happen. I think that we can both agree that Borussia Dortmund come into this game as wild outsiders.
Mate, it might not be a bad place to be. I mean, when we
came into the quarterfinals as rank outsiders, to the semifinals as rank outsiders, and now to the final in the same.
Well, this is the thing, but you know, when I ranked the semifinalists, I begrudgingly put them at four. It was like, I have to put them at four because I don't have enough evidence to convince myself or anyone else that they're actually going to be in the final. But I said at the time, there is part of me that thinks that Borussia Dortmund do knock out PSG and they are in the final, and here we are. So you never know, mate. Funny,
you do never know. And with that, I think it's probably time for us to pull this to a close. So all that's left for me to do is say thank you very much to our Champions League guru, Mr. Dean Jones.
Cheers, mate.
I've been Jack Collins. This has been Ranks FC's Champions League Takeaway. Thank you so much for listening as ever. We hope you've enjoyed both the episodes this week, this one, and our European Team of the Year. If you haven't listened yet, please do go back and have a listen to that one. We will be back next week. But for now, take it easy, Ranks boys. Peace.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean Lafoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.